Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I sure did. I'm not bragging, but I hope everybody had a good weekend. It's always good to get back to work completely recharged. I will tell you that this show is also sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually has the only solution for getting the federal government into compliance. This is important because we're going to be talking a little bit about Republic Review today, more specifically what it is, what it isn't, and the fact that, I'll get into that a little later. But the fact of the matter is, folks, there is no other process. The status quo does not work. Trying to vote for people, trying to take a passive approach, it does not work. The states have to step up. They have to assert their authority. And it's just like anything else in life. If you do not assert your authority over your property, and you got to understand, the Constitution is the property of the states. It is their compact. Period. And if you don't assert your authority over your property, people will continue to run rickshaw. And in this case, the federal government will continue to run rickshaw over the states until they have finalized their destruction of our constitutional republic. Because those people that are driving these agendas do not care about your liberties. They only care about subjugating you and putting us into a global communist form of government with a smiley face so that we'll all be happy. Jonah Goldberg's fascist liberals or liberal fascism, something like that. Anyway, he has a big smiley face on and he goes, America can't become fascist because, you know, we're too nice. But I disagree. I think we're heading down that track to where things aren't going to be so nice anymore. And there's no doubt in my mind, most Americans, especially those that are in the conservative bent, people listening to the show, you see that light in the tunnel and you know that's not the end of the tunnel. There is a train heading full bore this way. And we either have to derail that train and plug that tunnel and abandon it and get back onto the track that the framers put us, or it's lights out, over, we're done. So the question I have is, as CPAC rolled on, did anybody hear anyone or anything at CPAC with a tangible solution to get the federal government back into scope of the Constitution? Obviously, all this unconstitutional government is destroying us. It is putting us into financial ruin. And I'm not hearing anything. So if you thought you got some epiphany from CPAC, send me an email. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I'd be happy to hear your view, and I'm not going to try to besmirch anybody, but just don't see and understand why CPAC is not championing for a real tangible solution. The fact is that there's a lot of money in it for people who don't, because if as long as the problem exists, there's a lot of money to be made. You don't want to fix the problem. I mean, union workers get this. You don't want to fix certain problems because then, you know, you kind of work your way out of a job. Why do you think transportation groups in states like Caltrans, why do you think that they do marginal work on their freeway systems and so forth? Because had they done, you know, clover leaves and everything else, it may have cost a little bit more up front and poured much thicker concrete so it would last like the Autobahn. Well, if they built roads to last to that level, then they would be out of a job. So they actually have to make these things inferior so that they can continue to work. That's the only reason. And that's the reason why most manufacturers build subpar products. They could make them perfect. They could make them better so that they'd last forever or close to it. I remember Ford came up with a in the 60s, mid-60s, they had a 289 engine that was averaging a half a million miles, and that was too good. The standard was too good because they wanted to make sure that you had a reason to abandon that car to buy a new one because they need to get you back. They're not there to just put a car in everybody's garage and then close shop and their job is done. That's how businesses and that's how organizations work. They work on the relevance and maintaining relevance, all these different organizations. Start challenging the fact of why this organization still exists. NAACP, why do they still exist? And look at what they're doing now. In contrast to what they were doing before, they, you know, they had a relevant cause. They were very relevant, but now all they're doing is playing the race card all the time. Really? And the fact of the matter is, and as a matter of fact, I really love Thomas Sowell or some of the other conservatives out there that have actually, you know, pointed out. And as a matter of fact, I even had Creating Equal. Doggone it. He was on my show. He's not too far away. Connery. You know, I'm bad with names. So after the break, I'll tell you who it was, but so I can look it up because this is bothering me. But anyway, he was on my show and he was a huge civil rights leader. And he basically has put it out there. We don't have a race problem anymore in America. What we have is people that are trying to manufacture race problems and so forth. And so the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of organizations that are making money. And CPAC is one of those organizations that they're making money in getting people to come and listen to great, supposedly conservative minds. But how are they so great if they don't have a tangible solution to end this problem? Something to ponder. Let me grovel real quick. If you want to get involved, we need your help in some way, some fashion. You're more than welcome to get involved. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will get you started in your state doing research and getting organized in how to start attacking the problem in getting your state moving towards the audit and republic review. If you want to financially help us, that would be great as well. We're only looking for, at this point in time, I'm only looking for people that are willing to support the travel that we need to do so that we're not subsidizing that. I truly believe when you're involved in a worthy cause and you support a worthy cause, and there's probably nothing more worthy and more righteous than saving our Constitution at this point in time, that I believe that you'll be blessed in helping and getting involved. So if you're kind of lacking those blessings in your life, then get involved. And then, you know, after you've been involved for a while, look over your shoulder and tell me what blessings that you've been able to count and or recognize. And I'm sure that you'll be able to do so. I've had lots of people get involved, help, and had blessings. And unfortunately, they were unable to continue helping, or at least they convinced themselves that they needed to move on. And in most of these cases, they ended up having some other problems that all of a sudden hit them at the same time. And I'm going, huh, I'm really sorry for that. Do you want to get back involved again? Anyway, sometimes people make the correlation. Sometimes there is no correlation. Is it a coincidence? I don't know, but this is a worthy cause. And so we need your help. We'd be happy to take any type of assistance and or help that you're willing to give because we want to work with good Americans that want to preserve liberty and our Constitution. I will also say that you can get involved with the Our First Right organization. That information is on my other links page as well as on my podcast page. So click, go get involved with them. If you understand what this would do, it would displace Congress by forcing this amendment to go through or by getting this amendment passed. And so I think it's a good, worthy cause in doing that. It's not Republic Review. It doesn't get us off the spending and everything else. There is no other course in saving America other than enforcing the Constitution. If we do not do that, we are doomed. But getting involved with Our First Right as well as the constitutionclub.ning.com, by all means, go to these organizations and get involved with them. Both of these organizations are doing good things, and that's why we support them. So anyway, I know Keith and the Constitution Club is a huge supporter for Republic Review. I'm just hoping that our First Right will be a huge advocate for the audit and asserting the state's rights over the Constitution once again. Anyway, let me ask you this question again, because I kind of started this last week, and I know you may be thinking about it, but where have you landed on this question? What kind of conservative are you? Are you an original intent kind of guy, kind of gal, or are you a strict constitutionalist? There's a difference. The original intent is what they intended to do, and that's what we should try to do. A strict constitutionalist means that, you know, we've got to go strictly by what the Constitution says. Believe it or not, you will find conservatives, though, that are buying into the living document. I talk to people all the time that accept the Supreme Court rulings and accept that they're the final arbiters and accept the fact that they're making rulings in cases they have no jurisdiction on, that they've been able to self-aggrandize themselves into this one-size-fits-all court or oligarchy to literally rule us any way they wish. And so we'll get back into this question again as we get back from the break. So please stay tuned. And, oh, by the way, I do have some militia prep for you today, but I don't know if we'll get into it, but hopefully we will. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Ward Connerly. There you go. It was Ward Connerly. I told you I'd remember. As a matter of fact, it came to me as soon as we were going into break. I was going to yell it, but anyway, I told you I'd remember. Or look it up. And actually, I confirmed the spelling for the last names, but it is Ward Connerly and his fight for equal. Anyway, great book. If I'd highly recommend you getting his book. And as a matter of fact, I believe he just wrote another book. So I have complete respect for the guy. Anyway, let me move on. as I was saying, believe it or not, you're actually finding conservatives who are in the conservative camp that still buy into the living document. As I said, they believe in the court being the final arbiter, and they believe in these concepts. I am here to tell you it's time to change our paradigm, and it is time to get into the framers' paradigm. And that paradigm needs to be the legally defined constitution. It's not about being a constitutionalist. It's not about being a conservative. It's not about being original intent. It is about legally defined constitution, because what that does is that includes, and it is inclusive of how the constitution was defined to the stakeholders as they clarified what everything meant. This right here takes away any interpretation as to the necessary and proper clause and so forth and so on. Legally defined leaves it as it was written, and it takes away any interpretation by a judge. And as a matter of fact, we should be able to get to a point where judges, you know, their hands are tied, because if it's not in the Constitution, then they go to the ratification debates, they find it, go, oh, okay, there you go. We have no jurisdiction in this matter. This is a state issue. Done. Because it has been defined as a state issue. If it is not an enumerated power, that's how it was defined. So again, the legally defined constitution is the paradigm. And that's what a constitutional crusader is doing. A constitutional crusader is out trying to preserve the constitution as it was defined and reestablishing it based on those definitions as they defined it and as they established our constitution. Not, there's no interpretation here, folks. This isn't about GR. This isn't about anybody that says this is the direction we want to take this. No, we need to take it right back to the limited and defined constitution and let the states do all of the great things that states were supposed to do. There we go. Now, if you haven't heard, it looks like Utah is at the cusp of passing their petition for an Article 5 convention. They're going to be joining the Convention of States, folks. In other words, what they're doing is they're on path of creating a perpetual convention. And so the good folks in Utah must feel like they have unlimited funds to actually fund an annual convention. Because if you understand what these convention of states folks are doing, they don't have it. Here's the beautiful thing. Before they even met into the Constitutional Convention, there were plans on the table. Madison put his plan on the table. And as a matter of fact, when they started the Bill of Rights, because this is not, and they keep on saying they're not out to rewrite the Constitution. Okay, so all they're out to do is amend it. So out of 20, 30 years, one would think that there would be a well-articulated amendment. Now, there's the term limits, there's the balanced budget, and there's a few other. But how does any of those amendments solve the problem of federal government dealing with things well outside its jurisdiction? None of those are enforcing. I would tell you that the only amendment that they can pass would be pretty please abide by the Constitution and stay within your jurisdictions of the enumerated powers. And that, my friends, is a useless amendment. This is why the states have to assert their constitutional authority over their compact. It's pretty clear. At least it is to most of us, and I hope it is to you too. And that's why I hope that you're getting involved. And I want to just push forward here. But I want to actually take a little time to, you know, it's time to go into the confessional, or, you know, go into that little dark, dank booth with the with somebody that can absolve me of these sins, because it's confession time. Now, the younger me, when I was in the Marine Corps, and when I started looking at the Constitution, and when the Constitutional Convention debate began, at least, you know, because these things continually on and on and on, they kind of reinvent themselves. But in the 80s, there was a movement and there was talk about a possible Constitutional Convention. And I believe that was when Scalia was an advocate for the Constitutional Convention. But anyway, because it was the one mechanism that just stood out that, you know, hey, if there's a problem. And as I was going through this process, I really fell out of that camp by the time I had hit the 90s, because as my father and I would sit and talk, well, what's the Constitution? What's the amendment? You know, let's come up with an amendment. And we couldn't come up with one. There was really no type of amendment other than the Constitution itself. And it became really obvious that the states had to assert their authority, but I didn't have any context to that. So as I was moving forward, retiring from the Marine Corps in the 90s, getting into systems engineering, you know, I was maintaining a high level clearance for a long time. And so in doing that, you kind of have to maintain some sterility with the party and other organizations. And plus, you're working so hard. We were on travel all the time. There was a pay period, a two-week period, where I think I had well over 160, 170 hours working. So, I mean, we worked hard. We didn't have time to get involved and be even volunteers, party, or what have you. And so I lived in a sterile world, and I didn't have a lot of involvement with these different organizations and so forth. So when I wrote my first book, I was still in that sterile world. And when I wrote my second book, I had started coming out, even though I was still in the sterile world, I had started coming out dealing with other people. And it was in the process of my first book when Douglas Gibbs said, hey, you know, you're pissing off some of these guys that are really anti-convention of states, because you're using some terms there that they just look at that as just like evil. And I go, well, that wasn't my intent. And if you read what I was talking about, it was pretty clear that I was not looking for an amendment process. What I was looking for was auditing the Constitution, clarifying that the federal government does not have the authority to doing all of these things that it is doing. And so in my second book, I actually wrote a clarification that this, what I am doing, I am not applying for an Article 5 convention. We don't need to do that. Any state can assert its authority. And so for the sake of just making this a little entertaining, let's just say I sinned in my early days of thinking that, you know, my thoughts were sinful. And as I move forward, though, when I first wrote my book and when it came down to the concept of an audit and auditing the Constitution, that was very clear. That was back in 2009, 2010. I forget today exactly when we were going to be audited by the federal government, but that's when the idea and the inspiration came to me. Hey, the federal government's auditing our contract. Hey, the Constitution's a contract. Why don't we audit it? And so moving forward, you know, that was the genesis of the book. But actually, if you read my first book, it's not just clear about that. I mean, I talk about the historical narrative of liberty. I talk about how the framers had created this republic and how the federal government had obfuscated the Constitution and the road back. So I'll admit, I didn't do a very good, clear, and concise job in just putting it down into just a couple of pages. I mean, it's obvious that my first book was about 700 pages when I finished it, and then I had to condense it down to 500 and some odd pages by taking out white space and so forth. But anyway, it was very clear in that first book that it was all about the audit and taking a completely different path of not petitioning the federal government. And so in the second book, I clarified this. And so I just want to be on the record for saying that, you know, even with these clarifications and getting out and actually getting away from the classified world, I started dealing with these organizations that were just, I didn't realize were hypersensitive to the word convention. And when I was talking to an area director of one of these organizations, I said, well, how do you define convention? And that individual said, well, that's when you send delegates to, you know, a political meeting and they're, you know, discussing and making decisions. And I go, well, so to me, a convention is a methodology. A convention is a process, and in engineering, we use convention all the time. And then all of a sudden, he realized that, I guess there is another definition or use of the word convention. So anyway, with all of that said, and struggling for 2 years, practically, trying to get this organization to get behind this, because I believed we were on the same road, but I couldn't. And like I said, I made all sorts of changes, and I even created guarantees that Republic Review was not the same path. I mean, that's why I state that the first state that is doing this, and as a matter of fact, I've got a hard break here, but I'm going to tell you that the first state can set the tone, that the first state can say, hey, if you have an active constitutional petition for a convention, we want you to rescind that before you join. But let's talk about this when we come back after the break. I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So, as I was saying, even though I made clarifications in the second book that what I was doing was, and what I was championing was not an Article 5 convention to amend, there was no intent to insert any new amendments in the Constitution. I have none. There is none. It is about enforcing. If the states choose to make an amendment, then that would be something that they could go on their own, but I am not recommending that they do that. It would be an absolute waste of time because our problems go away when we enforce the Constitution. And so I'm not the king, and I'm not an organization that wants to tell people that they have to do this. But what I did do in working with this convention sensitivity organization, I inserted all the specific barriers that would guarantee that Republic Review is not the same path as an Article 5. It's very clear, folks. When you look at this, and this is why I recommend and even advocate that the states rescind their application. I believe that if you look at what Republic Review does,
there will never be a need for the states to ever apply for a constitutional convention to amend the Constitution, because the states have all the authority to enforcing their compact. If the federal government and the states agree, there's no reason why we can't continue with the amendment process the way it is. Unfortunately, some of those amendments have been pretty bad. We, as a society, have really failed in understanding republicanism, limited government, and our Constitution, and that's why we've been bamboozled with a few of these bad amendments. But that's going to stop as people start enforcing and understanding the compact so that we can move forward and ensure compliance. Remember that word? Compliance. Say it with me. Compliance. We want everyone in government to comply to the constitutions, even those who have actually taken an oath or a part of an ideology to destroy the Constitution. If they don't comply, get rid of them. But still to this day, this anti-convention organization is out telling people, even though it is very clear, there is no path in Republic Review. And as a matter of fact, I have asked the leaders, show me in this process where the door is that will open up an Article 5 convention. There's nowhere in there where there is a mechanism where all the states will, you know, push a button and the next thing you know, without their even knowing, they send off a petition in requesting an Article 5. Now that's not there. I mean, these are grandeurs of delusions and they're, you know, hallucinating. So after going through this with these large area leaders, that they could not come up with a way of saying, yeah, you're right. They didn't want to say it, but they're right, or I'm right, that there is no path to an Article 5 convention. So instead of just saying, okay, well, there isn't a path there, but we're not supporting this, what they're doing now is they're giving people misinformation to say, you know, G.R. Mobley and that Republic Review is a backdoor. So they're still lying to people, telling people that Republic Review is a backdoor to an Article 5 convention. So I just say this. Apparently what they want to do is they want to continually condemn me for my past sins. And what they're doing is they're condemning America, because what we're talking about is getting America, the Republic, into standing up and asserting its authority. And so what they're doing is they're condemning me for getting the states to assert their authority, and they're condemning us to the direction that we're on, that we will capitulate because there is a quick path to destruction. And that's the path we're on currently, folks. Anybody that sees what's going on in the school system, anybody that sees what's going on with the refugees, as I've been exposing all of this for you, or at least not even, most of you already know this. Most of you know that the Fox News is not talking about the Agenda 21 and the Agenda 2030 information because they don't want to legitimize it. The news agencies understand what the heck's going on, and they will not legitimize it because there's too many Americans that, you know, just won't buy it until they sell it. And so there is a reason why we are struggling the way we are, and that is because the agenda is being handed down even by what you would consider a good organization, because the only reason I can tell you why Fox is not talking about the Agenda 21 and just exposing this as it is so obvious, they don't care. They only care about maintaining the problem. And so instead of, and going back to this organization, this anti-convention organization, instead of refuting my current process, they, like I said, they're attacking me for the use of my words in the past. So again, what does this seem like to you? This seems like that they're judging me and they're trying to hold these past sins against me. And it's, you know, it's really anti-Christian if you wanted to consider it that way. But I believe this organization, along with many other good conservative organizations, have been penetrated by the deep state. And in talking to Trevor Lawdon, I told Trevor, I said, I can't understand why this organization has taken this position, because he works and he's actually talked to the president of this organization in supporting Republic Review and said, show me how this is a path. Give me the back door. Show me where the path is to the Article 5 convention. They couldn't do it. They can't do it because it's not there. And so instead, they've zipped their lips in trying to refute this and trying to prove that this is a backdoor, and what they're doing is they're just attacking me. And so that's, you know, that's the old adage. What do you do when you've got somebody out there that's doing something that is really good and righteous? Well, they attack the messenger. They don't attack the message. And so nobody is proving, nobody has any empirical evidence to prove how this is a backdoor to an Article 5 convention, because it's not there. As we're going into break, I was going to tell you that Wyoming, as Wyoming stands up to be the first state for Republic Review, they can set the tone in making it so that when the next state comes to join them and they have a live petition, an active petition, Wyoming can say, we want you to rescind this, or we want you to make a pledge that while you're engaged in Republic Review, that you will not participate in the Article 5 process. So that way, they are sending a very specific message that these states want to enforce the Constitution. They don't care about changes at this point, because enforcement is paramount. We are on a schedule. We are on a track of failure. Like I said, by 2024, there'll be enough useful idiots in the electorate to literally vote away our, even though you can't constitutionally do this, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to be violating the Constitution as they get rid of it. And that's really sad. But I will tell you this, Trevor Lawdon is a huge supporter of Republic Review. He understands, he's been on this show, and he understands that this is holding government accountable. This is the American way. This is what Jefferson and Madison did in 1798. The concept of nullification and just nullifying it at the state level was a last resort. There's no doubt in my mind, Jefferson and Madison were trying to get all the states to join them in rebuking the federal government, and the other states did not. And that was where the remorse, as well as the lamenting by Madison. It took Madison about a year before he wrote his summary of what those other states had done. Because he actually took it to heart and he looked at what they were doing. And if you read that, I mean, he really pokes them in the eye and says, look, there was nothing nefarious or mischievous by what we were doing. Anyway, so I'm actually going to put a link up for that video of Trevor and I talking at Red State Talk, or not Red State Talk Radio, at Red Pill Expo in Spokane last summer. So that you can actually see, you know, and hear exactly what Trevor Lawdon is saying, because this guy is a subject matter expert on how organizations have been penetrated and have been overran by the communist movement. And I'm asking him right now, he's focused on identifying the church and how the church has been taken over by the communist movement, the Christian churches. So maybe the next thing he can do is get into the NRA and all of these other really supposedly conservative organizations and find out who it was that penetrated and got in and actually has put these organizations into a failed opposition mode, to where they're supposedly champions for the conservative cause, but they continually lose ground and lose ground. And that's what I've been telling you, that these organizations, based on their performance and where we are, they're not out there to win. They're out there to lose ground. And I see that there's more evidence that they have probably been penetrated. And I think most of the people that are involved in these organizations are really, really good. But I think at the top level, they have been compromised. Anyway, when we come back, I have some more good constitutional information from you or for you as regarding some news and marketing. So when we come back, I've got that and a little bit more, and hopefully the militia will get into that too. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So I'll give you a little context or a little background. Why am I doing this? Because, I'm getting attacked. And in Wyoming, there are people that have been told things about the sins of my past. And this is becoming one of those things that, you know, you don't want to have to spend a lot of time telling people, okay, if there's a backdoor to the Article 5 convention here, show it to me, because there is not one. And so they said, well, you supported it before, and now we, you know, because of that, we think you're lying. See what happens when you tend to make mistakes and you step off and say one thing and what have you. Like I said, I'm having to spend too much energy at doing this in trying to defend. And you know what? There's it's not about trying to defend. There is nothing to defend, because instead of actually attacking or identifying the one step that sends us straight into this chaotic Article 5 convention, because there is not one, because they can't find one, what they're doing is, this is the typical progressive model. So this is what lends to me to believe that they are using progressive tactics, because they have been compromised by the progressives. Does that make sense? Okay. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, G.R. Mobley, he's advocating for the Article 5 convention, and everything he's doing with the Republic Review is a backdoor, then you just ask them to show them the bullets, show them the process, show them the flow chart, and say, okay, so where's the backdoor? I got to know. Since you know that this is a backdoor, where is it? And then they'll come up with some lame butt excuse like, Well, I got these spidey senses that's telling me it'll do that. Oh, so you're now using superstition. Are you rubbing some roots or throwing some chicken bones at it as well? Anyway, you know, I will say this. I do not regret the amount of time I spent in trying to get this organization on board, because they actually helped me seal this up to where they can't refute it. And then once I got there, they were still unbending. They were still unwilling to get involved. I'm going, okay, fine. I'm moving forward without you. And then all of a sudden, they become adversarial to me. And I go, okay, well, that's fine as well, because you can't refute this. And bottom line is, their only tactic, and that's what they're doing, is just trying to attack me and refute them, or, you know, attack the messenger. Anywho, so what I am doing is I am just putting it out there so that anybody can come back to this particular podcast and go, so what the heck's going on? You know, why is this, you know, why am I being told that this is a backdoor? Now you can listen to the whole confession, and what people are doing is they're just attacking me. They're not attacking this product. They have no evidence. And so to maintain their status quo, because that's far more important to maintaining the relevance in their status quo, they have to create this appearance that I am about this because I've said these things, because I committed these sins, and they've got me on YouTube saying those things, and they've got the words out there way back in my past. Bottom line, go by what the process is and how it's been redefined and redefined. And it's, I'll just tell you, it's been perfected. When this gem started, it was a raw diamond, uncut. And as I worked with this organization, they helped me, whether they like it or not, they helped me identify that, well, we find this is a flaw. And I've got this diamond perfectly cut now. There's no doubt that you can't find a flaw. There is no door at all that connects this to an Article 5 convention. The reason I'm even bringing this up is because Utah has now come on board. It looks like they're going to get on board along with Arkansas. They have picked up more, and this should be alarming to people, because this will be creating a huge chaos as we move forward with the 2024 election, and we get all of these useful idiots. They may actually try to redefine, if they get this convention, to try to go down this path of this global governance as a part of this convention as well. I don't know. All I know is our only hope is Republic Review. Auditing the Constitution and enforcing the Constitution is the only way we do not risk losing the Constitution. Opening that door to the Article 5 convention could and will actually put us asunder. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. Let me move forward with some other things that I think is pretty interesting that needs to be kind of mentioned. So President Trump's announced that he's going to sign an executive order to promote free speech on college campuses, saying that if the schools want dollars from the Fed, they will have to allow people like Hayden Williams to speak and others. Williams was recruiting students for conservative groups at the UC Berkeley campus when another man assaulted him and punched him in the face. And so, myself personally, I would much rather see Trump say that education is not an enumerated power and therefore the federal government will cease funding education. What he's doing is only a patch to the problem, because the next progressive will absolutely embolden and strengthen these bastions of progressive communist indoctrinations, because that's what our education system is. If he understands what the national indoctrination system is doing to America, this too would be a national emergency. He should stop the funding. He should pull back this insane curriculum that is being rammed down everybody's throats and pull us back from the edge. But unfortunately, he's not going to do that. I want to give you, because you've probably heard about this, Meghan Markle, who married Prince Harry. She's going to have a baby, and they have made the decision that they are going to be what they call a gender fluid environment. They're going to raise their baby up in a gender fluid environment. In other words, they're not going to try to impose the gender on the child. And so, regardless of how harmful this is, and the problems, so many kids get caught up in this dysphoria or whatever, and they end up committing suicide and so forth. The reason I'm bringing this up and why is this important? As I have said several times, that bad, evil ideas like these grow legs, and soon this government, our United States general government, what people call the federal government, will mandate this crap as well. If you think I'm kidding, go to the library. Do not buy the book. Go to the library, because I'll tell you, every book that was written by the Clintons, they sold multiple copies to each library in the United States. You think I'm kidding? That's how they got on the bestseller list right up front out the gate. Is because they were able to push these books into every library in America. So go to your library and check out Hagtop Hillary's book, It Takes a Village, and read for yourself right there how they want to grow the government and its roles in the government as controlling your kids, not only from the prenatal into birth. They want to make sure a social worker is in your home to ensure that you are not giving your kids religious dogma to influence them to become bad players in their society. That's how evil this is, and this is all lining up. I'm just telling you that these aren't coincidences, why we're here and why this is all going on. And on the same topic, and oh, by the way, this is what you'd get if you're signing up for G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. You'd be getting these types of stories. And so on the same topic, the Supreme Court of British Columbia ordered that a 14-year-old girl receiving testosterone injections without parental consent, the court has declared that her parents cannot stop her from doing that. They're doing the exact same thing we're doing, and the kids are getting to a point. I've said this. I told you this back in December, that by the time kids are in grade four, what age is that? 10 years old. When a child reaches 10 years old or nine, they're going to have to choose what sexual orientation, and then the school system and the government will defend that child against its parents. I'm telling you, go back and listen to what I was saying back in December, how insidious and how evil our education system has become. It is turning our kids against our foundations, our Christian faiths, and so forth. They have been weaponized to go after and destroy Christianity in America. The federal government created the anti-Christian church, what I call the National Secular Church, and they use our education system as its school, as its delivery of its doctrine. And so there's no doubt in my mind that this is all a part of the grand plan, that they want, you know, kids to be able to go down this path of choosing whatever gender they want to be. And they're literally going to keep you, the parents, from being able to do what you need to do. Well, I'm out of time. I didn't get to the militia. We will get to it tomorrow. I will just say this. I'm G.R. Mobley, as I always do. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. And obviously, there's organizations that are out to not help me, but I need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.